Natasha Bavado. I'm co-chair of Pride New York, the employee network group for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender individuals here at JP Morgan Chase. And we're very excited that we could open this evening up to our friends at Out and Equal Metro New York, as well as the New York Bankers Group. And certainly are hoping that in the future we will be able to continue this kind of relationship, sharing ideas and best practices with all of our corporate friends in the GLBT community. I'm very honored today to introduce Blythe Masters, who is a managing director here at JP Morgan Chase. She's currently the head of the Global Credit Portfolio Group.
Thanks, Trish. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. Trish and I had lunch yesterday, and it was just one of those casual sandwich affairs. Actually, my sandwich fell to bits and made a bit of a mess. But she said to me casually, we have an event going on tomorrow night for Pride, and I wondered if you would do the honors of introduction. And being the kind of person I am, I immediately said yes without thinking about what my qualifications are for talking about the people that I would be introducing. But, you know, nonetheless, I said yes because I love the things that Trish is doing for Pride as an organization. And unbelievable women to my right. And I thought, holy hell, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do them justice, because what an incredible story. I'm just, you know, so profoundly... Good point.
What do you say?
I'm so profoundly impressed by your story that it almost leaves me speechless. And those of you in the audience that know me well know that that doesn't happen very often. So you are two quite incredibly brave and influential people who have clearly taken tremendous risks in your lives in order to bring about better things for a very large number of other people. And it's an incredible privilege for us to have you here tonight to share with us some of your experience and your thoughts and guidance on how to handle some of the tough things, as well as the good things about the life choices you've made and that many of the people in this room have made.
Before we start to speak, Constance, I need a watch so that we don't go over, but I would prefer a Rolex.
There you go.
Thank you. Do you need me behind this? No, I would like to hang out with you. Okay? Over here. I'm most pleased to be here with you. And I was really very pleased in going to the women's room. I haven't seen Tampax and other female in a very long time. So it's very nostalgic for me to be here with you and to at least start my evening off by going to the women's room. So I'm thanking you. I'm almost in tears because of the nostalgia of this. I'm Connie Kurtz, and I'm a lesbian. And I'm also a bookkeeper. I don't get carried away. When the many moons ago, when I had introduced myself to someone that I'm a bookkeeper, she said, "No, you do bookkeeping. You are not a bookkeeper. You do bookkeeping." Well, I am a lesbian and I do lesbian things. And one of the lesbian things I do, I do laundry. I do laundry. And I have a home with Ruthie, my life's partner. my friend of 43 years. If you are in that old to have a friend of 43 years. The fact that she's my lover of 27 years, half of you are not even that age.
Not that but much credit do they get.
But we do lesbian things. Your people say, well, your lifestyle. You have a lesbian lifestyle. Well, if every lesbian does laundry, I guess that's our lifestyle. If every lesbian is an artist, as I am, well, okay, that's our lifestyle. If you're all Jewish, well, I guess that's your lifestyle. I'm Jewish. I mean, what are we talking about when we identify ourselves, when I identify myself as a lesbian? I'm saying to you, outspokenly, upfront, that as I'm able to tell you that I was married for 18 years to Bernie, and I have at this point in my life two adult children, and at this point in my life I have 12 grandchildren. She's got five, I got 17. Daniel, ha ha, a little bit. All right? If I don't hesitate in telling you those pertinent, intimate information, facts about myself, why would I hesitate? Why would I edit? Why would I censor? Telling you that I am healthier, I'm happier in every aspect of my life, and deny you the right to know that I am with Ruthie. That I am a lesbian with Ruth, or I am a lesbian without Ruth. But she won't let me be without her.
With her. I'm so smart.
Yes, we have a story. There is no question about it, but so do you. So do you, so do you. Do our stories connect? After all, I'm 66 years old. But this story happened a long time ago. And it happened even before Ruthie. 43 years ago as a friend. It happened as a child going to school, being concerned how I held my books. If I held them this way or if I held them this way, because one way or another you would know that I am a lesbian. Where the hell did I hear that? When I started to smoke, I was concerned how I held my cigarette. You too. You would know that I'm a lesbian because the masculine way I held it or the feminine way. When I folded my legs, was I the masculine way or the feminine way? I consciously was aware of that kind of behavior way back when. Where the hell did I get that information? I don't really recall it within the framework of my household, but it was there. It was there. As a Jew, there were certain things that were also there. Shh, you don't tell the neighbors everything. That had nothing to do with being lesbian or gay. It had to be with being Jewish. I knew certain things. I'm 17 years old. I'm driving with my father and my mother down to Florida. And my father says, we're getting about an hour out of Miami, and my father says, don't tell anyone I'm a taxi driver. And this smart aleck 17-year-old sitting in the back, what am I going to tell him? You're a surgeon? Where the hell did the shame and embarrassment come from for my father? Where did that come from? Hard-working man. Yet he had shame and embarrassment. Somebody shouldn't know he was a taxi driver. Not fair. Very unhealthy. Who's wrong? My father, who wanted to conceal his identity, or the people he was afraid in their knowing would respond in a negative, uncaring, unembracing way. Who's at fault? Who do we accuse? I accuse everybody. I accuse us all. Because the only way the system works is if we feed them the issue of our shame and embarrassment. If we feed the system that we're not willing to challenge their language, their jokes, I accuse us, and I accuse them. And this is why I so appreciate, I mean, do you think I go to corporate America every day and I speak, you know? This is very nice, and it's to you all your credit, the one who organized and the ones who are here participating in the audience. Ruthie and I are friends, and we are lovers. Why the hell do you have to use the word love, Connie? It gets me so I start to sweat, and I sweat, and I have cold hands. Something else. So when I called up the Workman's Circle it's got to be about 20 years ago, because I didn't have insurance. I didn't have health insurance. And I couldn't afford to have it on my own name. So Ruthie, because Ruthie is brilliant, she says, call up Workman's Circle. As an organization, they have group coverage and it'll be cheaper for you. So I call up Workman's Circle. I say, Workman's Circle. And I take care of my business and now I am covered, I pay, whatever. Years later, Ruthie and I recognize we must take the will. We must make a will. We must take care of certain legal aspects of our lives. The children we have, the grandchildren we have, all right? What about the funeral plot? I gotta get a funeral plot. It's not happening tonight because I'm busy tonight, all right? But who knows? Okay, so I call up Workman's Circle. Workman's Circle, and Ruthie knew. Ruthie's still very smart. Ruthie knew that she would have to be a member of Workman's Circle in order for the plots to be together. So she had taken care of that months before, a year before, whenever it was. I called Workman's Circle. Workman's Circle, I would like my funeral plot next to Ruth Berman. I said, Ruth Berman, no, Ruth Berman is a member of Workman's Circle. And with that, the person on the phone says to me, who is Ruth Berman? All right. I have to make a nice word. All right, I said, she's my mate. There's a minute of silence. You want to lay with your maid? This is why I call her my lover. How many mistakes can you play with the word lover? All right? These are the down-to-earth, okay? These are the things that go on in our lives. And you want to hear the tearful stuff? I could give you tears. Definitely give you tears. I can give you tears about Ruth's mother, who I knew as long as I know Ruth. Who, when Ruthie and I came together, totally divorced me. Now, I had a relationship with Ruth's mother. It was not only Ruth's mother, it was Connie's friend. Very sad. Tremendous loss for me. Ruth's mother in 1982 became very ill. And I made it my business, because of my relationship with Ruth, that I was going to be there for Ruth. And Mrs. Green, Ruth's mother, would have to deal with me. She's in the hospital. and I go to the hospital. And Mrs. Green receives me in a very loving way, a nice way. Mrs. Green comes home from the hospital, and I begin to connect with Mrs. Green again. And we talked about the very private things, the grandchildren. Mrs. Green, weeks later, becomes extremely ill, where Ruthie and I know that this is it. We bring her to the hospital. And Mrs. Green, when she is getting prepared to be operated on, not to save her life, but to make her death a little easier, she's being prepped for this particular operation. Ruthie is there, and I'm there. Ruthie's children are there. Some nieces and nephew are in the hall as well. The nurse, in prepping Mrs. Green, asks Ruth to leave the room. Ruthie's outside with me. And you know, in prepping, they take the hearing aid out, take the teeth out. If you have false teeth, that's not that they take the teeth out. Glasses, make sure we take the glasses off. And it dawns on Ruthie, what the hell am I doing out here in the hall? I'm going in to be with my mother. And you hear a woman who was always very soft-spoken think that she's soft-spoken, but she doesn't have her hearing aid in her ear. And she is extremely loud. And you can hear her throughout the floor of the hospital saying to her daughter, how much I love you, how much you were a wonderful daughter. And they start, and Ruthie starts talking to her mother, what a wonderful mother you've been. And this is the conversation. And all of a sudden, you hear, we hear, I hear, her mother saying to the daughter, I want you to forgive me for how I treated you and Connie for the past 7 years. And then you hear her say, and now I want to have Connie come into the room so I can say it to her personally. I have that story too. I have whatever story you want, and maybe you can relate to it from your own tears, your joy, or maybe the anger because you haven't received that apology yet. You see, there isn't one of us that shouldn't be receiving that apology from the co-worker, from the mama and the papa and the siblings, from the religious institutions. We should be receiving that apology. So if we don't get it, I offer you a piece of Mrs. Green's apology to me, and I give it to you. I would now like to introduce Mrs. Green's daughter, Ruthie.
She usually builds me up a little more than that.
Well, if you have a mother like that, you have to be a very special daughter.
Oh, God. We won't go into that. This is a banker's group, not a therapy group. It's really quite amazing to be here. My son worked for Merrill Lynch. He was one of the, after September 11th, let go people. He was an MD also. And I wanted to, this is an aside about him being an MD for Merrill Lynch. When he was born, at that time we had cloth diapers. You know what cloth diapers are? Cloth. Cloth diapers where you had a in the toilet. But I wanted my kid to have special diapers. So we got the company that did initials on the diapers. They would put the baby's initials. Michael's initials were MB, Michael Berman. they made a mistake. It was MD. I must tell him that one of these days when he's talking to me again. So this has been a hell of a ride. Being married, having children, falling in love with your best friend, being in a place in my life where I was on top of my career, I was an administrator for the Board of Education, and all of a sudden the shit hits the fan, and here I am in love, insanely in love, the agony and the ecstasy. What do you do when what Connie left out was that my mother was physically handicapped. She had polio when she was 2, severely handicapped. My father died when I was 10. We were on welfare. We came a long way to the time that Connie met her. And so I had to give her what in Judaism is called nachas, joy.
It's in Catholicism also.
Yeah. And so I married an NJB, a nice Jewish boy. I had 3 wonderful children. They all made the SP. They were very smart. And in the beginning, when Connie and I began to speak, and I wanted to show what a wonderful mother I was to the straight community, I always used to tell them, well, one son is a lawyer, my daughter is going to be a doctor, and the other one is at the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school. That made me a good mother. You know, I stopped saying that. Only you know. It was very difficult for me to come out. Even though we moved together, I lied. We got a 2-bedroom apartment and plaques that said Ruth's room and Connie's room. And fortunately that she was my friend so that she could carry me through the coming out and saying this relationship will not work unless you come out. It will not work the next time you get an invitation and don't say Connie too. It will not work if we walk in the street and you walk behind me. It will not work. And I knew that she was right. And so I came out. I came out. And in coming out, little by little by little, taking sometimes giant steps, sometimes baby steps, I got very ill. I ended up in the hospital, and I'm associating it with that. And finally, after years of having symptoms that were not identified by orthopedists, internists, chiropractors, name it, the doctor finally, this doctor who I thought was so terrific, finally was able to identify it as Crohn's disease. And what was it really, those of you know what Crohn's is, ileitis. It was really getting rid of the shit. And what was the shit? The shit was the shame and embarrassment of being a lesbian. And once I recognized that I was self-subordinating myself. I go periodically for those awful colonoscopies. Those are not terrible. It's the preparation. I got to do one Sunday. Oy. Think of me and think good thoughts. I'm healed from Crohn's by being out, and that's very important. So with that gaining pride and self-esteem and saying, what was the big deal that I'm a lesbian? I am in love with a woman. We have a wonderful relationship. I am happy. I am creative. I am more fully myself than ever before, that I don't even have to put my blouse out. I can keep my blouse in.
Even you know, in the belly shows.
When you feel chubby. What do you know? I decided that what was wrong, because my colleague at the time, I was then a guidance counselor, was excess in the 70s, became a guidance counselor, and my colleague was telling me, his wife and he, they both belonged to the board, were employees of the Board of Education, can use both their medical plans to take off
you know, when they go to a doctor, they use both, the secondary. And I said, she's got to pay. It's not the greatest plan. Forget it. I am going to my payroll clerk. I'm getting an application, and I'm going to take care of it. This was in the 1980s. So I walk into my payroll clerk at the time, and she gets hysterical. You can't do it. I'm going to get into trouble. I can't give you an application. That little closet came into play. Said, okay. A year passed, the new payroll clerk. I go into this new payroll clerk and I said, I want an application to put Connie on my plane. She says, I don't know if I'm allowed to give it to you, but I'll give it to you. You know, I'm going to give it to you. Fill it out. So I figured Connie, you know, could be a boy, could be a girl. I don't have to tell the full truth. And I fill it out, and I send it in. And coincidentally, like, what do they call it? Serendipity, whatever, that kind of thing. I get a phone call from the Lambda Legal Defense. Why did they call us? Because we were a couple of a number of years, and they were beginning a lawsuit with the Lesbian and Gay Teachers Association of New York City to get domestic partnership for the medical and dental plan for Board of Education employees. I said, my goodness, that's exactly what I want. And two other couples, a male couple long-term, and another female couple that had a child, but they remained anonymous throughout this time, decided we were going to do it. We went to this law firm. Well, what do you know about fancy law firms? You probably do. This is a fancy place. You all work in fancy places. To us, this law firm, inside the law firm had this wonderful mahogany staircases inside the law firm when we came in, right? This is Williamsburg, and I'm East New York. Does a mahogany staircase have an effect? Yes, inside the law firm. We sit down on this beautiful conference table, and all the Sprite, Diet Coke you could have, with or without ice, lemon, and lime. And these lawyers, our lawyers, from Lambda, who were also lawyers in the top law firms in this country, were giving pro bono to this case. That was Lambda in the early 80s, and they told us, look, your lives are going to be out there, you're going to have to do depositions and tell the truth, and you're going to be questioned, you're going to be out there, but we don't think you'll win. Okay, but we have to try it. When the six of us left, we gathered around, we said, they don't think we're going to win. We know we're going to win. We know that this is right. This is discrimination, and we're going to get it. Well, it took 6 years. Any lawyers here? No lawyers.
Yes, there
okay.
is.
Okay. So you know a lawyer has learned in the grief of law school, how to spread things out, how to take their time, still get paid, although they weren't, but they were able to go to, and so it went on and on. But, there was a but. Connie and I went to the first in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, lesbian conference, and there we met a lawyer from California who said to us, a judge is permitted a certain amount of time before they have to make a decision. Tell your lawyers you know this. So we told our lawyers, we know this. Move your tuchus. Start doing something. And they began. They began to do it. And Dinkins was the mayor at the time. And the other unions that were involved with the Board of Education and New York City, behind the scenes said,
we could give money towards this if you would let it happen. So Mayor Dinkin said, before I let it happen, we need domestic partnership in New York City. So we got the domestic partnership to sign up, which at the time, and I think it's still the same, was very difficult. You got to show how that you share money together and how long and this and that. And it took 6 years and we won. But there's a but. Thank you. There's a but. Over the years, we won in 1988. We're talking about.
Started the lawsuit in 1988, won it in 1994.
So now we're in 2002, going to 2003, and you know what? When Connie and I leave New York City, we are strangers to each other. Where do we go for the winter? In a place in Florida, right? The place that is the heaviest of radical right, narrow-mindedness, even though there is an enclave of probably the largest liberal red diaper community of Southern Florida, is that Jewish community that should make all these changes, and we will reach them. We have realized, I don't know how many of you know because it was not mentioned, but some of you here are friends of ours that we know and may have seen. We had a movie done about us called Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House. And it's been all over the world. It's been all over the world in film festivals and the United States. And when they say, we want Ruthie and Connie to come and do a Q&A, and they pay for us, we go. And we have learned a tremendous amount about this community, lesbian and gay, bi, transgender community. And that is, one, most of us are still in the closet. And two, we have no clue that we are a community. We have absolutely no clue, and we think some of the young people, the under 30s mostly, think we have it all. Why? They have community centers, we're Grace and Will, or Will and Grace, there are movies, Navratilova came out, Ellen came out, everything is hunky-dory, even though they don't talk to their parents. Their parents still want them to get shock treatments. We think we have everything. We don't. We don't. And we must learn. We must learn. And I don't know what drug I could give you to get you to change this. One. Well, maybe if I start it this way. Having been out for so many years and speaking to so many groups, I just imagine the amount of money that went into your education in just in this room alone. Just imagine the amount of brains just in this room alone. Just imagine the kind of success just in this room alone. All over the United States. We are everywhere. We are creative. We are productive. We're not only in the banking business. We are artists. We are musicians. We are bookkeepers. We are everywhere. But we are not community. If we could recognize even in this small enclave of New York City, that not one of us would vote for anyone in our community who didn't say full rights for gays and lesbians, we could change this New York State. October 11th is coming out day. You know what it reminds me of, really? And I will tell HRC. It reminds me of Valentine's Day. It's a cutesy little day. Maybe you'll wear dungarees to work. Maybe you'll put on an AIDS butt. Maybe you'll tell the person that you know for a long time and you suspect that he or she is gay that you are. But if we stop working, even for the first 4 hours of a day, if every LGBT person and our allies, and we have many from PFLAG, stop working October 11th, we could turn this whole world upside down. That's the kind of effect that we could have if we stuck together. Instead of saying, you know, women, lesbians, they're separatists. They remind me of my mother. Men, who likes men? We don't even do that. You know that most of the gay bashing that I, the male bashing that I hear is from my straight women friends I play tennis with? They don't like their husbands. They would probably like you more because you would go shopping with them. It is very important that we become community. Have any of you heard of UJA, United Jewish Appeal? Anything happens to a Jew anywhere in the world, millions of dollars are made that 1 hour. They come together. Do Jews really like each other? There's Ashkenazi, there's Sephardic, you know, there's this one, there's that one. But when a Jew is hurt, they come together, and we don't. Oh, sure, Matthew Shepard, there was a play, his mother got involved in all this. How far did they go in Laramie? Do you know Laramie has no gay and lesbian domestic partnership? Anti-bias bill? This is the email you have to start getting. It's called Fenceberry, F-E-N-C-E-B-E-R-R-Y. Very important. Just write fenceberry.com, and they will put you on their email, and you will get information from all over the world of what's happening in your community. We must come together and stop with the ego from HRC, wants to be president, National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. Then we have a Lambda Legal Defense, and then we also have on the West Coast a Lesbian Legal Defense. And then we have GLAD, and we have SAD, and we have all. We must have a collaborative. We must stick together, and I know, unless I go home with each and every one of you or get your email and remind you of it, you might forget. There must be a way, Connie, that I will get to them all the time. Because I'm right. You know I'm right. That we have a tremendous amount of power within our vote, within our voice, within our economics. And we must make it happen for ourselves. I do not salute the flag, not even 9/11. I do not get up for the Star Spangled Banner. I am not a full citizen here, but I have given a tremendous part of my life to this country as a professional, as a teacher, as a mother, as a grandmother. I deserve to have the freedom, not the fear, in this country. I deserve to have full equal rights. And it's up to you to get it to me. We all deserve it. There's no such thing anymore. Get rid of the shame. You should not be ashamed. You are extraordinary people. What you have gone through to be who you are, to get to the place that you are professionally, socially, emotionally, there should be no shame, no embarrassment. As Connie said, everybody else should say they're sorry for how we have been treated and continue to be treated. not to have an anti-bias, federal anti-bias bill passed is, I mean, I could easily get an Uzi and shoot anybody. Marriage, the choice of marriage, and we used to go through this. When we came together, very romantic when you come together. We're still romantic, but it's not as the same. So romantic, and she would say, Ruthie, don't you want to marry me? And I would say, no, and then she would say, do you want to marry me? And I, why would we want to get married? It's a very oppressive place to be. But as our relationship developed and as we found out what was happening in this world, we realized that marriage was the key for us to get all our rights, the umbrella for all the rest of it. Freedom of choice. We should be able to choose to get married. So what we have done just recently, we've done two things. One, we allowed marriage equality to take a picture of us, put it on a postcard, and on the other side it says, Mr. Pataki, we want these people to be able to have their full rights and get married. Put a stamp on, send it out to him. The other thing we have done is joined Evan Wolfson. You all know Evan Wolfson, extraordinary man. His height is really about 7'2", although he's probably 5'4". And he probably has a lot of hair, even though he's bald. I'm trying to say he's a very special, brilliant lawyer who is working towards this collaborative, the Freedom to Marry Project Collaborative, to get all the organizations behind that freedom to marry as a federal law. Doing it in Vermont, doing it in Amsterdam, doing it in Germany, getting New York City, California, doesn't give us our freedom. Unless we all want to move to Utah, get rid of everybody, and we'll have a wonderful place that we could live and do our own. No, it doesn't work that way. Because you know what? There's too many of us. Right? There's more than we can imagine. It's so exciting when I got an email today. I sent out an email to everybody on my email to tell people about the film and where we're going to be next. And I get an email back from a friend who's been a friend for a very long time, very special, loving, wonderful woman. And she writes how proud we are. She's going to see the film. It's showing in New York and Macaw. And she's bringing her friends because she wants them to know this is a... And she wants also to say how proud she is of being our friend and of being a lesbian, period. She came out. Was that wonderful? We got one more. So that's our story. It's not, you know, it's not like that's our story, period, end. It's that's our story, and this is our new beginning.
Talk to us. Talk to us. Let the questions just expand on anything that you feel you need to hear about. Please.
Wait, Connie, we have these fancy microphones.
Oh, I'm sorry, we got...
You could pick the color, guys.
Yep, down back there. He.
And don't tell me you were in my phys ed class in 19 whatever.
I want to thank you for coming. You've said some, in my opinion, wonderful and inspiring things. There was only one comment that disturbed me. You said that you don't stand up for the flag. How can you not support this country but want this country to support you? Or respect the country, not respect the country, but want the country to respect you?
It's not a matter of respect. It's a matter of rights, okay? It's a matter of taking a stand as the people did who were fighting against the war in Vietnam. It's a matter of you being able to ask me, how come, Ruth, you're not saluting the flag? How come you're not singing the Star Spangled Banner? So then I could say, I'm a lesbian. I don't have my full rights. What reason? This is a country that I know that I can get it, but I have to scream a little bit. This is the way I'm screaming. This is a little bit of a scream. Keep talking to us.
When is the movie? I don't know
how
and where.
Oh, wait, I have something here. Thank you for asking.
We will be in the next month, meaning October, we will be in Rochester, we will be in Tampa, Florida, and when I say we, literally Ruthie and Connie will be with the film. The film is shown in many, many places, and we are not in all of those places. We will also be in Washington, D.C.